Hello, everyone, and welcome to another CineQuest video. Today, we're going to be talking about a movie that is about satanic Hispanics. Alrighty, hello, everyone, and welcome to CineQuest video. Like I said, today, we're going to be talking about the movie Satanic Hispanics that actually came out in 2023. Released, I believe, and just recently started streaming on Shudder. And you have your mother's lover joining me right now.
Tis I.
And Alistair Sharkwater, thank you for joining us. I think it's your first time on the episode from the last time we interviewed you. So,
Thank you for having me. And I just want to say you're doing the Lord's work. You're watching Steven Seagal, so we don't have to.
we're trying to get all that in.
Yeah, you know? Jeez.
And we're not done yet. There's a lot of Steven Seagal to watch.
There's more to go. Oh shit.
I love every variation of Aikido, man. That's some interesting stuff.
Oh yeah.
His variation is probably the most interesting and entertaining.
Hey, I love that he can also do it sitting down so he doesn't have to get up.
Yeah.
That's a talent.
It is a talent.
He's cultivated it over the years. And I mean, we can't do not but appreciate that skill. I mean, I wish I could do that.
Well, someday. Like I said, we're going to be talking about Satanic Hispanics, a movie that came out in 2023, barely streaming on Shudder for the first time. And it's an anthology movie with, I believe it's 6 chapters. It took me a while because I saw it twice already, and I was kind of wondering. I kind of forgot what the chapters were. I think I have them correct here, and correct me if I'm wrong if I bring it up. So I just need to do a quick synopsis of the movie here. Let me find it.
I mean, what more is to say?
I noticed you got kind of like a Pai Mei thing from Kill Bill, the way you're going at that beard. I love it.
Oh,
that's your own.
Thanks, dude. Yes. Someday I actually want to. I think I've made this joke to you before, Ray. It'd be cool to get Nick Cage from his Grindhouse commercial or whatever when he's pretending to be a Fu Manchu. Someday, you know, it's the gold standard.
Let me just go through the synopsis here of a Satanic Hispanics. Police raid a house in El Paso, Texas, and find one lone survivor of a brutal massacre. Taken into custody for questioning, the mysterious man starts telling them strange tales of other worlds, mythical creatures, demons, and the
Pedro
undead.
Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought to my head.
It took me a while to recognize him, but before that, I thought I'd vote for this dude.
Yeah, he had a very different type of nature to him that I wasn't used to. You know, it's very stern, very stoic. You know,
he had two parts in this like sort of movie, right? You know, the original, and then in was it the second to last chapter? Wasn't that also him as the holder of the hammer of Zanzibar?
God, may the hammer of Zanzibar come down on your enemies, my friend.
Oh, man. I mean, we'll start here in a minute, but I just got to ask, like, did either of you guys see that coming? Because
I did not.
Bad joke.
I would hope not to.
I was really guessing. I was like, there's no way it's going to be a... And then, like, you know, store owner starts going into this long-winded story and getting very descriptive and making the other two guys in the room very uncomfortable. And so I was like, okay. At first, I was like, maybe he's not. Nope. Yep. He's going in deep.
I love that his story started off with a friend saying, "We really don't have a lot of time," and the store owner goes, I went on travels to find myself.
And they immediately just kind of like, oh, all right, sit down, get comfy.
Just real quick, I want to go through y'all's thoughts about like the movie in general. Just your overall thoughts of the movie. Alistair, we can go with you first.
The thing with anthologies is it's a game of Russian roulette. One bad story can nuke the whole movie. So I always hesitate a bit with anthologies, but this one had one story I didn't really hit me that much, but so much of it was so goddamn good and fun too. The story with Hammer Zanzibar, that was the most Evil Dead 2.
Yes, it so was, man. Like there were so many like this. It was awesome.
And El Vampiro was, I love that actor, man. It was a fun story as well.
Yeah, I thought the cast was pretty great. I didn't quite recognize a lot of these people at first, but when I started looking some folks up, and I'm like, holy shit, that's okay. That's this guy. That's this guy. That's this guy. Like the Vampiro character. That's actually played by this guy. He's done a lot of pretty cool bit roles. What's his name? I know I had it here. Hemke Madera. He was in, I guess, Spider-Man Homecoming. I think he was the owner of that, like, it was like a meat market, I think, where he's like, you know, Peter Parker goes in and I think he talks to him and the guy responds in Spanish and telling him that he's like, oh, it's the kid with the hot aunt. And that's when like Peter Parker responds with in Spanish, because he didn't think he was going to understand him. He's like, oh, what does he say? He's like, your daughter is pretty hot too, or some shit. And then his face gets pissed. But like, apparently he was the voice of Chorizo from Rango, which I hadn't really seen that much.
No idea.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay. And he's got an episode in The Mandalorian, which I'm like, oh shit, that's cool.
You know, correct me if I'm wrong. I didn't really look this up, but the guy from the Hammer of Zanzibar, isn't that the guy from Destroy All Neighbors?
Yes, sir. No,
is that guy, right? Okay.
That shit was so fucking great across Alex Winters. He was also in the last iteration of MST3K on Netflix. He was the host. He was the new Caitlin. He was the
okay.
The janitor guy, I guess, for that noise. And I couldn't figure out. I was like, why does he look like this guy? But also like, oh, I'm fucking confused. And I looked it up. I was like, oh shit, it's both of them. Awesome. Alistair, you had said there was one story, one of these chapters that kind of didn't gel with you. Was it by chance the shaman episode, the shaman chapter?
That it was. It didn't have... like that first story, the one with the guy who did the Rubik's Cubes.
Yeah. Right.
It wasn't a lot of humor.
I would have liked that if that was an entire movie itself. That was really cool. I really like that when he's figuring out the...
I guess whatever puzzle it is, right? Yeah.
Well, yeah. So I guess he was some sort of math savant of some sort that he was able to create or figure out an algorithm to transcribe the, I guess, the puzzle of the Rubik's Cube into, like, you know, the reality around him using colors and lights, right?
The moment he had that flashlight going and it had the strobe effect, in my mind, in my heart, I was going...
Oh, yeah. He was a really good actor. They all were. In that one in particular, I really liked. I don't know that like it kind of threw me for a loop a couple of times in there. In particular, how I guess it ends with. Well, it's kind of hard to describe, really. Like, he saw like different like images of himself that were dead, but like then he was supposed to not be alive or something like that. Something and then the portal that he opens brought in like a you know, this like, I guess this like zombie corpse that was just completely mutilated, and the paranormal guy thought it was his mother, but the guy was talking to him like, I don't think that's your mom, man. And then, you know, as he sends the pictures to his sister of this thing, she responds like, what the fuck are you doing? And it's just a picture of yourself. And, you know, it's like, there's a lot of cool little, like, not really twists, but like details that they pulled in there. I did expect that one, because I was like, oh, he's going to take a picture or some shit. It's not going to be that. It's going to be something else. I wasn't, when the paranormal guy saw the corpse, and like his reaction, I was like, fuck, he thinks it's his mom, and he immediately jumps, and I was like, shit, that's awesome.
I was not expecting that explosion of just
yeah. Thank you. That's why I was like, oh shit, they're all flickering and like, what's going on? And it just, well, he's fucked. Like that was really nifty.
So I guess I think I want to just get at Roland. You overall, you did kind of enjoy the movie, and
yeah,
for the most part, yes, yeah. I enjoyed it very much, man.
Okay, I will say that I enjoyed it very much as well. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed like the practical effects of the whole movie. Yeah, in general. Yeah. But let's go down and like break down, I guess, the chapters or the stories themselves, because mm-hmm. you know, we suggested or made a hint that there was some that didn't like really hit, or there was one that really didn't hit. So initially we have the Juan, who's the Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite. He's the traveler, and apparently he's immortal. You know,
yes,
and death or the San La Muerte is after him, which is the Colombian version of the Santa Muerte, which is from Mexico.
It's different.
I didn't know that.
I've heard it's like a Candyman situation, so let's be careful not to say the name too much.
I've already said it like a few times today, unless they have to be like right close to each other to say it. Like, I don't know. I've been saying it all day.
I did like how he made the distinction between the two, though.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, that's from Mexico. This is from South America.
But, you know, when he made the cop made the correction to him. See, I thought the same thing. I didn't really think there was a difference, but apparently there is. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's a different religion.
Yeah. So they find him in like a house that's like just with a bunch of people that have been killed. And
those cops RoboCop the shit out of that dude right in the beginning.
I was getting hardcore Saw 9 vibes because there was a trap that had like a guy's marionette hand going up.
It was so funny, dude. Every time the hand, he's got a gun.
Well, I think that's what set the tone for me for this movie because I mean, I wasn't sure it was going to get like comedic in some way. But when I saw that part and he keeps on raising the gun and keeps shooting him, I was like, okay, this is going to have an element of comedy to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they find Juan, and then they take him to the interrogation room and they're trying to get him to admit to who he is. And he basically goes, I thought it was kind of funny whenever he starts going into a story and they're kind of just like, oh, like, don't tell us any stories. I felt like that with certain, like, I want to say elders, but like, my aunts and my great aunts and stuff, at some point or another, instead of just telling you straightforward as Mexican culture, they don't just tell you straightforward what they mean. It always has to be some kind of parable or a story to go along with it. And I felt the detective's reluctancy to just hear the story. I was just like, oh, great, here we go.
I think by the time they got to, what's the guy's name? Malcolm or?
That's at the... You know, that first chapter was called The Traveler, right? I'm not wrong about that.
Yeah.
I thought I had missed it.
Yeah, you got it.
And he goes into the next one, which is the Seer. We were talking about this guy earlier, which is Gustavo, who can open a portal, seems like, to the other side using some kind of algorithm, mathematic equation. Mm-hmm. That chapter was called También lo vi. Right? That's
right.
Okay. My Spanish is going to be bad on this one. Like.
It's fine.
We were just talking about that earlier. I thought that was probably the most serious version of this most serious story, it seems, leading off from like that comedic little beginning part until this real serious story. And again, practical effects, you all mentioned that wherever he's closing the portal quickly and then like everything just kind of just explodes. That was amazing. That was cool.
Yeah. I'd say that was probably the most concise, I guess, chapter sort of thing that like I really liked the way that whole thing was written and shot.
I
compared to the others, like, yeah, there were a lot of horror comedies and then it just some others that I guess didn't quite have that cohesiveness that this one did. And they I thought it was pretty cool. They pulled it off pretty well with like what? Four people or something. There was Juan. There was the first paranormal dork. the second one.
Nope. His sister. First one was a pizza man.
Oh, he was. That's right. Yeah. He wasn't. That's right. I wasn't sure. Yeah. I was like, is that the fucking pizza guy? Like, why is he? thank you. Okay.
If you ask pizza guys around the valley, man, that's probably a Tuesday night, man.
I can concur as being a fast delivery driver. Like, shit like that could probably happen to you. Strange people will invite you to their house and you don't know what you might be getting into. Now, things don't line up the way you normally would think. You're not in some kind of nice erotic film or anything. It's just people trying to mess with you. So, trying to kick your ass for pizza.
Don't tell.
People will try to kick your ass for pizza. That's a fact. So we can move on to the El Vampiro. That was probably the silliest one to me. Like, it was just silly. Just fun, silly movie.
It was so funny. The woman that played Maribel was actually... I thought I recognized her, too. I saw her in the... She was actually from the first two Mummy movies.
That's right.
She played Anaxunamun, woman lover from...
That was her?
Yeah, dude.
I didn't recognize her. Holy shit.
I was like, why does she look? And I was like, all right, what is this? Oh, shit. Awesome. Like, she's been in a lot of things since then.
I thought she looked familiar too, but I was like, I couldn't for the life of me recall where she had come out from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was like, holy shit. Patricia Velasquez.
There you go. Name. Yeah.
Like, I didn't even know she was not, like, I just straight up assumed, oh, she's Egyptian or something, like in the movie, you know? But like, she's also in The Curse of La Llorona. Haven't you checked that one out, Ray?
I've seen Llorona movies, and they're not the greatest.
Was that the Conjuring one or the one on Shudder?
I think it was the Conjuring. Let me list.
Well, there was also another one I saw with Danny Trejo, like back in 2022. That was the first movie I saw, and it was bad.
It is the Conjuring one, dude.
Okay.
That one.
I saw that with Danny Trejo was so low budget. The story was terrible. The acting was bad.
Which one? There's a lot.
The one I saw with Danny Trejo, the Llorona movie with Danny Trejo. That's the one I saw.
Oh.
And I've seen others, but like that's like the worst I've seen.
She was in Arrested Development as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Marta Estrella.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, like, holy shit. And in Malignant, she was the nurse. Nurse Velasquez. Yeah. it's fun. Like, again, I was very impressed by this cast. They were just like a lot of people out of nowhere. Like, what the fuck is she doing here? I mean, and I love that the vampire episode, the vampire story. It's like, what was right before... right before Pedro, I'm going to call him that for the rest of this. Sorry. went into that story. What is he like? The cops were like, you're not going to tell us a fucking vampire story. I was like, I'm about to tell you a fucking vampire story. Like, it was so
and I was
great.
I was trying to figure out the reason why he had gone into that. It was just to like kind of give some kind of is a trust or like some kind of
right.
immunity
he was trying
for
to
him.
Prove to them. Yeah, like, to them. Hey, that- I know who killed your. Yeah. He was trying to pull back the curtain, you know, and tell them that he's not full of shit. Even though, like, as they go along, they're figuring shit out. Like, oh, I just so happen to have the fucking Saint Killer pistol in a goddamn like filing cabinet in the back. And he's like, oh yeah, look at this little bullet. The cop is like, I thought that looked kind of familiar. And she just fucking, I'm gonna go get an aspirin. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Okay, dude. It was funny. It was so funny. Yeah. All of it.
I will tell you, man, when he found out Daylight Savings Time had hit, and good timing when I saw this, too. Good timing. But when that hit, and he was like, I could turn into a bat. And the wife says, like, when was the last time you did it? If I can turn into a bat, I am going to be like Animorphs in this bitch, okay? I'm never stopping.
He's like, I haven't done it in a while, all right? And he's just walking around trying to flap and just, aw.
That was hilarious when he was on that scooter, yeah. He's on that fucking scooter.
Yes, yeah. He like gets egged by those. I think they're cast here on here as Punks 1 through 3 with those dudes dressed like clowns or whatever. Yeah. I mean, this sort of felt like we were watching an episode of What We Do in the Shadows, but in like, you know,
it could have been.
No, sorry, it was in El Paso. It was in El Paso.
He could be a character in What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, fuck yeah. Sure. Fuck yeah. I mean, both of them would be great. Like, it was, yeah, I mean, all of it was there. Holy shit. Like, I mean, there's really nothing there in there that wasn't like, okay, this is perfect. You know, when he's hypnotizing the cops going back and forth, like, and it's like that gag almost ran too long, almost, but it was so perfect that I was like, ah, fucking keep going. Like, does it end here and he gets hit with the sun or something? Like, God damn it.
They did some twist on like the powers of a vampire and stuff, which I thought were really funny. Like you said, normally when they like hypnotize one person, they'll just stay there for a while, but it only like works if he's like looking at him now.
He's like, that yeah, was, he's like, all right, I yeah, got you.
That was good.
And he gets stabbed in by the kid. You know, the heart's on the wrong side, kid.
You know, you got the cops like holding the guy's head and stuff, and he's just like tasting it and shit.
He's like, what kind of syrup is this? This tastes like blood. Oh my god, it's in my mouth.
Serious Tropic Thunder vibes right there. Like,
yeah.
What was the other cop saying? He's like, you can't mess with their minds like that, man. Like, oh, it was so fucking, that's good stuff, funny, dude. Oh, I loved it. It watching that made me feel, I was watching like the horror version, and I think when the director was interviewed, he mentioned like the callback to like old Univision like shows and stuff from when we were like kids, where it's like, it's just some goofy little like, well, it's an adult or whatever, usually pretending to be a kid or do like kid cartoonish stuff. And like this, that's all I've like thought I was, you know, I got that impression watching this, which I thought was kind of cool. It was a horror.
horror comedy.
Yeah. And it was pretty great. I mean, I did like, I don't know, like the way a lot of humor was set up was cheesy, but it was like so perfectly timed. Like when that guy walking his dog meets him in the beginning, he's like, fucking Halloween, you know? And at the end as well, he's like taking out the trash, like, you know, same shit. I was like, oh, he's gonna say it. Yeah.
Was that the same guy?
The vampire was like, blah.
Yeah. I thought so.
You know, question about that. Whenever he does see that guy for the first time, is he saying blood or is he going blah? Right?
No, he goes blah, because I had the subtitles on. Yeah, they actually spell that out, BLAH. I was like, blah, blah.
I need to incorporate that more in my life. Just like blah.
Oh,
and just respond that way to everybody. So blah.
It's versatile. Versatile.
We're going into the next chapter, which was chapter 4, which is the Nahuales. I guess that was
right.
The
yeah.
One,
so
right?
That's yeah. Sort of. I mean, yes, it is. It's the shaman one, but the Nahuale.
Nahuales. No,
sorry,
yeah.
Nahue. Nahue. Yeah,
Nahue.
Is from what I had read about it. It's South America's version of what we understand to be skinwalkers.
Yeah.
That is to say, like these witch people cast, you know, that are in tune with, I guess, the sort of darker forces of nature, and they're able to turn themselves into,
yeah,
you know,
animals
and
yeah,
stuff. I when I saw the woman, the shaman lady, you know, start to anamorph out, like, I was like, oh shit. And then like she stopped and I'm like, oh, it looks like, I thought it looked like the kid from the original Jumanji when he like tries to cheat and like he gets turned into that little animal with the tail and shit. He's like half monkey, half like possum or whatever.
I was getting what was it, that cat people vibe.
That was the first one, dude. I was like, oh no, please not cats. So I immediately like glommed on to this. I was like, no, it's Jumanji.
I will say this, the only thing,
yeah,
that story in particular, kind of like, I kind of like drifted off a bit. I wasn't exactly sure what was going on.
Really,
I tried to watch it again.
Yeah.
But the only thing that grabbed me in this story were the effects, you know, when she's like digging her face in and pulling all this stuff off. That was cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, other than
the
that,
black eyes.
Yeah, I didn't really.
Other than that, yeah.
I wasn't paying attention too much on that story. And I rewound it to watch it again because I thought I had missed something.
Me too.
I was just kind of like, yeah. Like,
it's all right. The ending. I had to watch that a few times because I was like, what the fuck is she? Okay, those are people, but why are they in the. Okay, I think it was some sort of tragedy that she mentions.
Yeah.
It looked like they were. They had bags over their heads.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like.
So like, mm-hmm. I was like, is that how they killed them or something maybe? And that's why they were angry or talking about how there was no God or person that was watching out for them when this tragedy happened or this great evil was committed upon them, that sort of thing.
And also curious, like going into that story, what was the reason for him telling that story? I didn't remember that.
The vial of
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and they were like, what'd you get this? And he's like, could be people blood, could be something else.
Let me tell you a story.
Yeah. Fuck. I really liked the shots. The camera shots in that story. I will say that, you know, the setting was really cool.
Yeah.
Sure. And parts of it had really interesting elements, but like
I would say, overall, the story was probably the weakest. That was the weakest one for sure.
Yeah, and so were the, I guess the sons. You know, the strongest part of that story was the shaman woman herself. Yeah, yeah. She's the one that had the most, I guess, agency, and she was the one that was explaining everything as well. Because like it really doesn't go into much. The main guy who gets, I guess, who gets attacked and taken to them. Like he was some kind of politician or something that was working.
He was
with
working
CIA?
For the CIA. He was trying to give up a politician, but also that goes into the question: why is he getting abducted by
yeah, him? Like they just said that. Oh, I think he said that he was promised power or strength or something like that. Like that there was some sort of agreement, but it's not really explained, like what he did or and. Then they were just pissed about it because I assume that instead of helping them, he was going to run away to America or something like that. Instead, I'm not sure.
And then they killed him.
And they killed him. And then it just sort of ended like on itself or whatever. Them just being like, we're strong and bloop, that's it.
Maybe the traveler didn't have all the information for that particular story, but that was a nice anecdote to pass the time.
He did say that he showed up after the fact, and that's where he got the vial. So I guess that's a good as good as that explanation for it as any.
We'll go on to the next chapter, and that had no title. It was just chapter 5. That one's about Malcolm and the Hammer of Zanzibar. it was probably the funniest one. Of the whole mythology.
By far.
It was really funny.
Far, holy shit.
Evil Dead, like straight up for sure. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Five friends record a ritual, and of course, all of them get hunted one by one.
Hey, you know, it almost reminded me of like the Evil Dead show. I had a lot of like elements to that, and I tried to find a little bit more information on the directors and maybe like their approach to the stories, but I really couldn't find much, to be honest with you.
I only found that one interview that I mentioned. It was like a page. I'll probably send it to you later. But he did talk about his influences, his inspiration for this movie, and it was straight up Evil Dead, Pulp Fiction. Kill Bill, like, you know, he's a big Tarantino fan. What else am I forgetting in there? Like I said, the Univision channel and stuff, that kind of stuff. Tracked. I had to know after I saw that.
Yeah, that sequence that he pulls out like the fucking gun and starts blasting away. Then he has like the fucking, what is the smaller one? What guns are those called?
The Uzis, right?
Uzis.
Submachine guns.
Yeah,
submachine
guns. And then he like just lays out the clips on her on that and then breaks out the fucking handguns and stuff. I was just like, how many, this guy just having like riddled with weapons on him, you know, just a whole bunch of guns, and just like firing bullets like crazy. And then in the middle of all that, when he breaks out the fucking hammer of Zanzibar, decides to tell her this whole backstory, which was also hilarious.
Right. It's a backstory to a backstory. I was like, oh, fuck, this could go. Please don't fuck this up, guys. Like, yeah, it was great, though.
Not since the movie Sorority Girl or Sorority Boys have I seen such aggressive dildo fight.
Oh, that was, you know, that story that the guy tells is just so funny, as he's like, they're just slowly progressing into reveal.
Eat your mother's heart. You'll eat your mother's heart. You'll eat your mother's heart.
The reveal of the, I thought you said hammer.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
The reveal of the hammer was like hilarious in itself, because it just has that whole look to it. It's just a huge fucking dildo.
Yeah, they were just like freaking out. They were like, all of that was inside you. And yeah, dude, he's like, geez. And you know, then he takes out his friend and you're like, how much do you want for it? Like, I loved how when he hits the demon with it, he's out of focus in the background. He's like, yeah, he's so proud. He's like, I got something that'll hurt you, you know. And like, he's just standing there with this like dynamic pose, trying to look awesome. And I'm like, he's holding a dildo, isn't he? Like, fuck. There's no way. Like, because he's like slapping him in the face with it, and I was like, it's got a funny shape. Oh no.
It was so much fun.
The demon floating around, it was just so much Evil Dead in there. It was so cool. All the ridiculous guns, you know, the fighting, how he tries to fight, mostly gets his ass kicked around. I really liked that punk song or whatever that was playing, the King Zombie.
Yes.
That was really cool. I tried to look for it, but I was like, fuck, it's a soundtrack or it's a scoring for this. Like, I'm not gonna, like, I couldn't track it down. Because I was just like, this is cool. Like, it sounded fucking awesome.
Yeah, it lends well to the scene, you know? Like, it really just encompasses the energy and the comedy of it, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And
Go on.
No, you're fine, dude. Go ahead.
Plus the reveal that the restaurant was indeed open and he ended up killing a bunch of people.
Yes. Jeez. That was a fun little... Shyamalan twist, and then he twisted again back into the humor when they go back into Pedro and being like, so where's this guy? Like, what do you mean? He's a white guy surrounded by dead Latinos. They let him go. Like, of course they let him go, you know? Like, oh, he's a white guy. Like, yeah, end of story. Like, he was the only... I think he was probably one of the only ones to survive, actually.
Yeah, that scene, yeah.
Okay, so what was... That was the second of the last chapter, right?
Right, that was chapter five. Chapter six is the San La Muerte.
Reveal. That one gave me some Desperado vibes, man. Ah, that shit was fucking cool. You know, they were playing... They scored it really well with, you know, that... I guess would be slightly more traditional music with the... the brass horns and stuff, and all the gunfight in a, you know, now that I think about it, like, we should try to find like the number of movies where there's an actual gunfight in a freaking police station. Cause now I can think of a few times that's happened and shit just goes crazy. And, it was fucking cool. I really liked the reveal and how they handled San La Muerte. Like, it was just like, fuck, awesome. Holy shit.
So cool. Like, all the gunfire, you know, tearing off pieces of the mask and the costume getting revealed.
Yeah, dude. Oh, dude,
honestly, even if they had stayed with that just original look, that still would have been cool as well. But then that whole reveal of the actual demon itself looked really cool, because it had that very, I assume it was like some kind of Aztec traditional look to it, you know, and that was fucking awesome.
Yeah, dude. Like, it was just like, okay, he's already fucking looking crazy awesome. Like, you know, with these fucking Darth Vader Sith powers and shit, like controlling people, fucking flinging them around and whatever, doing the The Fingers of Doom, and then like it just has like a straight up like slow-mo process reveal, you know, where it's like, oh fuck, now you're absolutely fucked, you know. And then here comes Pedro, like a little badass, what's up, you know, with the fucking flintlock. What does he say? He says something like, for God or whatever. And when I first saw that, I was like, oh shit, did he miss? Because like you see the bullet and it kind of goes like, I figured he was going to go center mass or something. And I think it actually hit him in the shoulder or some such.
Did you check?
Well, no, he took one bullet, right? One bullet to do the job.
Yeah. The Saint Killer bullet.
But it's, I mean, it's just like a temporary like kill for that.
I kind of thought that,
he has 90 minutes. You
know? Yeah, I kind of thought he was going to pull a trigger and it was going to go click or something. Like, I was like, oh, let it happen. And then, no, he shoots him. And I was like, fuck, that's still awesome. Like, holy shit.
And the bullet was it the iron from the cross that was done with Jesus? And I was like,
it was the sawdust. It sawdust, was mixed in with the sawdust and the nails. Right. From the nails that they put him on the cross with. Yeah. Oh, dude, that was fucking cool. Like, I was like, holy shit, that's like, I don't know, that's some pretty cool, like, you know, supernatural horror kind of like little, or well, like,
Roland, what's
I
that?
I should say, not.
Well, do you guys remember that movie? What's that movie where they're in the diner and then all the demons are coming? Don't they have something like that also?
Legion?
Yeah, don't they incorporate some kind of like blood of Christ with the spear or something? I don't know if that's
the case. Yeah.
I don't remember. I know there's a movie that incorporates like the spear that pierced the side of Christ or something. Yeah. I could be wrong.
Constantine does
Constantine.
That.
Okay, that's Constantine. Sorry. Well, I thought it was Legion. Yeah.
No, no. It's been used. It's been fucking that's a trope at this point, you know. It's been used, the spear of Levantine, Longinus.
Also, Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight.
The blood of Christ. That's right. Yeah. Key. Yeah. The spear of destiny was also in, was it the first Hellboy movie? I'm not sure. I think they mentioned it when they're, because they're, every time they, anybody tries to talk about like Hitler, Nazis, and supernatural stuff, they always involve the fucking spear of destiny, that kind of thing. So it's like, oh, okay, I've seen that. Cool. I like it. It doesn't bother me at all. I would probably like to see it used more often. If anything.
I would say it's not like at this point, it doesn't seem like it's been overdone to the point where it's just a cliche, but it is. It is a trope that they use sometimes, but I don't really see it as something that's been used more, too often in horror movies necessarily. No,
it is an iconic prop at this point. the spear that pierced Christ. Yeah, it's cool.
Even in anime, Evangelion, there was a giant ass.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was a straight up reference to that. Yeah. I hadn't thought about that one. It's been a while since I've seen any of that stuff, but it definitely crosses into that territory.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say like overall. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was saying I could do with one of these movies a year, man. That's how much fun I had.
Yeah.
Plus the freaking. Pedro, man, he was like a Latino Doctor Who, man, with all the stories and the mortal immortality. Love that shit.
Yeah.
I liked his performance, even though it's kind of like cheesy and a little bit hammy, but like I think he did well with that though.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think overall with this movie, like it was just a fun. I wasn't expecting it to be as or have as much fun watching this as I did.
No. Yeah, I actually thought it was going to be a slog. I looked at the time, and I was like, fuck, 2 hours. All right. But no, like, what did you... I thought the pacing was pretty damn good.
Yeah, considering like the stories themselves weren't too long, you know, they had a good length to them. And they were...
I feel like it dragged at all.
They were entertaining enough to, like, keep you engaged, you know? Yeah, personally speaking.
No, I was the same way. I had two screens going, and I was like, I was going to try to do something else. And I'm like, nah, I'm just going to watch this. Never mind. So, I really loved it.
And I've been waiting for this movie for a long time. I wasn't sure if it came out anywhere down in the valley in theaters, because I know it was supposed to be released back in September. I wasn't sure if there was any showings around here. I kind of tried to keep an eye out for it, but I didn't see it. I could have missed it.
I know Tigers Are Not Afraid, it showed that the El Rey back in the day, before it came out on Shudder or anything. I regret not seeing that when I could.
Yeah, I know that there's a few Shudder films that are coming out, and I know there's going to be at the AMC specifically. The Night with the Devil is one of them, and I need to check that out before. Cause
that's the one with David Dalmas. I can't say his name. He's great. You know, he's great in the second Suicide Squad movie. He was in the Dark Knight. He was one of those bit roles, or with he was one of the inmates, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Psych ward. There we go.
Arkham Asylum.
Yes. When I think he's being threatened and stuff by Two-Face's character, and he's, you know, like flipping the coin and playing Russian roulette with him, and he freaks out and all that. I was like, oh wow, that's such a cool role. And I'm just so glad that I've seen, like, that guy has become prolific as fuck since then. He has a comic book series as well.
I've read it. Yeah, it's a fun one, man.
That's so cool. I've been wanting to check it out. Like, I thought it looked pretty interesting. And I don't know much about this this one coming up. I've seen like a little trailer clips here and there.
It looks like it's going to be like, it could be a good one. I'm anticipating it. excuse me. So I would say overall, guys, this was a fun movie, and you guys each of us recommended to watch it on Shudder. Alistair, you recommend this movie to watch this?
Absolutely.
Your Mother's Lover. Do you recommend this?
With at least a six pack, you know.
Have some fun with it, right?
Absolutely.
Enjoy yourself.
You could definitely have a nice night with that. Yeah, there's never a dull moment in here. It's shot really well. It's got very nice practical effects. It doesn't really overdo it necessarily in anything. Yeah,
I mean, how can you resist a poster that looks like that? You know, look at that.
Yeah,
there's Pedro right there in the center.
It is very fucking cool. Yeah, and when in his iconic last pose there with the gun. And,
I like the
Malcolm right next to him.
I like the top. It says 5 stories from 5 Latino as fuck directors.
yes. That's so funny, dude. It's pretty awesome. Accurate, yeah. I want them to make a sequel to this. This guy should make a series out of Satanic Hispanics.
I would
just be bringing on other directors. Or
I'll be honest with you, I am a fan of like anthology films. Body Bags is one of my favorites. That's the Carpenter one. I like, of course, like Trilogy of Terror, like all those little short stories, you know, like I enjoy those. They're kind of, to me, they're kind of like background movies, like, because if you don't like one, you can kind of just like look away and then wait for the next one to show up, you know. But I did enjoy this one a lot, and it's something I probably would like to own myself to put on my shelf back there, you know.
I'll tell you if they put out a steelbook.
Tell me so I can just tell you, I can just fucking look at it and not buy it and just stare at it from afar.
Sure.
I got enough right now, Roland. You showed me the Killer Clowns from Outer Space one. I'm like, God damn it, dude. Like, I can't.
That is art.
It looks so good, okay. You know? It has such nice art on it, too.
Not art the clown, just art.
Yeah, just art, yeah. Well, I have Terrifier 2 on Steelbook back there, so I need to get the first one on Steelbook to complete that little collection.
I'll probably watch the third one first and then go and watch the other two. Like I did with... I never watched it in order. I just never got around to it. And I know I've done that with so many damn horror movies. So,
whatever. And usually we end up watching it either on Screenbox or Shudder, which is fine, you know. But I would say that watching like Terrifier in the theaters was an experience, especially with people who had like either never seen any of the Terrifier movies, not knowing what to expect. you hear a lot of like, like a lot of like gasps and like gross out noises and stuff. Because that's pretty much all it is. It's like just a gory ass movie and it's entertaining. Mm-hmm. So, but I think that'll be it for us for talking about Satanic Hispanics. I hope they make another one, or at least the directors continue on making other ones, or they get other directors.
Yeah, man. I definitely want to follow these guys and see how they develop their hopefully they got more work.
Hopefully. Hopefully.
Man, they come out with more. I'm there every time, man.
Yeah, at this point, yeah, I'm sold. I'll check it out. And personally, I like the fact that there's, I guess, movies made by Latino directors and actors and stuff. Because, I mean, there's a lot of shit that comes out when it comes to, like I saw, like, La Llorona. Like, those are, like, that's kind of, like,
iffy. The bigger budget. Those are bigger budget studios, you know? Those kinds of things. Yeah, there's a lot of them. They're either hit or miss. And
you know, actually, when I saw that Danny Trejo, La Llorona, I was kind of upset because I was like, how are you doing this? Like, you can't do this. You're making a mockery of the culture by making this movie. Stop it, you know? It was just bad. The Conjuring one wasn't that bad, but it's still not that great. I haven't seen the one that's on Shudder that I think is actually in Spanish, which I should check out,
though. I've seen the beginning of it. It's real good so far.
I would check that out. You know what? Cool. We have to just let folks just make them in Spanish. Certain films, I feel like that would like help out because I think you kind of if you overdub them or you just make them, it kind of like dilutes the story a little bit. Personally speaking,
it does. You lose the inflection in the translations. Yeah,
and absolutely. I mean, I've seen a lot of directors like I think Record. I don't know if that's necessarily Mexican, but it's kind of a Spanish movie. That's probably one of my favorites. I like that too.
But you remember when you and I,
so to speak, in horror are doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
You were saying
I was just trying to think of a really solid example that you and I have checked out, Ray. But you remember when we watched JCVD way back when?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Jean-Claude fucking Van Damme gave this like ridiculously awesome monologue.
Yeah.
I think it was in French. And I was like, holy fuck. Yeah, I believe so. And I was like, holy fuck. I had no idea he was so goddamn articulate. Like, holy shit. It was just like, what the fuck did we just watch? Yeah. Like, did he just act the shit out of this whole fucking movie in 5 seconds? Like, what the hell? Yeah. And so, yeah, like, you could tell when he's speaking in his, you know, his fluent language himself, like, there's just so much lost in translation.
Mm-hmm.
And that can happen in a lot of movies. Yeah. So, like, I like that they kept this, you know, to play into everyone's linguistic strengths.
Now, even the Universal Soldier, one of the more recent ones, the one that came out in 2011, that was one of the best action movies I'd seen that year. Man, it was incredible.
I've watched them all. I love them.
Oh, man.
I don't care. I unironically love those movies. They're just fun to me. I've been a fan of those since the original with fucking Dolph Lundgren, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
It's classic. It's a classic Lundgren Van Damme head to head, you know. Well,
then the sequel had Michael Jai White with abs I have never seen before.
That guy has been like fucking jacked as far as I can remember. Like, he's ageless, dude. Michael Jai White is a beast. It's fucking crazy. Actually, he's in a few Seagal films, so when we go to those, mm-hmm. he's gonna see him. It's great.
Yeah, we'll see if we can do another reaction to all those and see how that turns out. I'm expecting bad.
I'm sure it'll be a wonderful disaster. Yep.
Bad, but somewhat entertaining, you know. So hopefully.
All you can ask for. Man.
That's all I can ask for. Because that Attack Force was pretty bad. That was kind of boring.
Oh man, that was rough. Really was. I was surprised by how tough that one was to get through.
Well, all right, guys. That'll be it for us. If you like this video, please like and subscribe and rate and review it on any sort of platform that you're listening to. Alistair, thank you for joining us. Hope you can do it again.
Happy to be here, man. Anything on Shudder comes out, you just let me know.
Right on. That's awesome. Dude. Thanks, man.
All right. That'll be it for us. We'll see you next time. See you later.